David Gately's got the early word on the weekend punt. This is Gator's Game Plan.
It's a very good morning to you, David Gately. You can get $34 with the tab for Carlton to win next year's premiership with a new look coaching staff now, with Michael Voss just appointed as their 35th head coach of that famous footy club. Brian Cook, their new CEO. They could be some value, Gator, the mighty Blues.
Yeah, look, you can get a little bit longer with me. But the problem with this is only one side can ever win it. So, yeah, that's problematic. Yeah.
What about this weekend of racing? We start on Friday night with the Group 1 Moyer over 1,000 metres. Saturday, we have Saki going around in the Underwood Stakes. And I think it's an intriguing five-horse race. And then the run to the Rose there for the three-year-olds, or the Golden Rose, I should say, at Rose Hill, where Animo dominates the market at $1.90, Gator.
Yeah, it is a fantastic weekend's of racing. We've got the AFL Granny sprinkled in there as well. So, enjoyable couple of days to look forward to, something we're not used to. But certainly the Golden Rose is a cracking race, always is. And it's just funny breaking that race down. Animo was so good winning first up. But look, he wasn't dominant. But what he did do is give them all weight. He was earlier in the prep than all of them and came off a setback. So everything logically about that tells you he's going to progress. He's only been to 1,400 metres once, of course, and it was a brilliant win in the size. So he's pretty obvious. I think he sort of jumps off the page a bit like a few last week. But you know, look, I don't think he's a moral by any stretch. You know, even money, does he win 5 in 10? It's probably about right, actually.
I was interested to hear Mick Price with Michael Felgate on Racing Pulse saying that Profit here is ready to run a big race. He might get tired in the concluding stages first up, but he's very quick, he's come back well, and I think he's nearly one of the most interesting runners all weekend, Profiteer.
Yeah, agrees. He's fascinating. Again, trying to break that race down and find the winner before the race. After the race, you know, still betting 100%, but before the race, I did the form and sort of went away from him a little bit, trying to find one to beat him, and I ended up coming back to him. He's going to run 1,000 metres pretty fast. I think it's as simple as that. It was good to see him harness his energy a little bit better in a couple of jump outs. He's certainly not bulletproof by any stretch. And the bit of speed from Ballistic Lover, Miss Albania, to a lesser extent Portland Sky. So it will be fascinating. I think you're entitled to get probably better than $3 in that field. I don't know what the current price is, but it's going to come down to price for me whether I back him, but I will tip him on top.
1,000 metre there, form analysts say, you've got to back 1,000 metre horses in 1,000 metre races. How does that go when you've got such a star field in a Group 1,000 metre race? Is there such a thing as a Group 1,000 metre horse, Gator?
Oh, look, there's been plenty of them over the journey that sort of run 1,000, 1,100 really strongly and don't quite get 1,200. I mean, we thought Nature Strip was that for a while, but Chris Waller weaved his magic, added to that the horse's maturity, and now he's a strong 1,200 metre horse. But, yeah, history's littered with them. Look, I don't necessarily believe in that. I mean, I think these blanket rules, as I've said more than once, I think they're problematic in that I think it's a lot of punters trying to use a shortcut. Let's take the Inferno, for example. He'd never been at 1,000 metres in his life at home, and he'd never been on a wet track. So a few that were, you know, patting themselves on the back for tipping him, you needed a lot of things to go right that were unknowns. He won well. Now, that was a moderately run 1,000 metres. What about a fast run 1,000? Will he be run off his feet? It's interesting. He's $5 as I look up on my tab screen. I think he's a little bit better than that with me.
0416 90 50 52. If you've got a question for David Gately with his game plan on this Thursday. Gator, let's start off with your lock. Who is the first athlete that you're picking this weekend in your sight?
Yeah, look, I think the best for the day is probably Zuzarella across the two states. She's in race 4 at Sandown, number 2. Obviously, what an exceptional win we saw from her. Just her second career start, she was back and wide. She joined in and then raced away. I mean, it was outstanding. Then you go back and look at the clock, and she's actually, the race is rated significantly better than the boys on the day, and that hasn't been the theme of it. Pretty much every time I've lined up the boys and the girls, it's been the males through that generation, but she's the exception. Now, a couple of her key rivals run again on Saturday behind her. They look to be suited at 1400 on a bigger track, so you can certainly make a case for them. But look, she had everything against her and still beat them, so I have to stick with her into start number three here.
So Sandown race number four, the unbeaten filly for the Freeman, Suzzarella. You can get around, she's around that $2.30 quote there with the tab to take out that race, in fact, into $2.15. So race four, number two. What about the long division race? And there's a few of them this weekend, Gator.
I agree with that. It took a lot of chopping and changing and different form lines. And, you know, we're factoring in the evolution or the, you know, improvement, if you like, is a better word, for these athletes into their campaigns. I went with the Gloaming Stakes. It's race nine at Rose Hill for the three-year-olds. They get to 1800 for the first time, pretty much all of them. You've got the expensive youngster Profonda, who created a pretty good impression on debut. He sat wide and won, ran good time off a fast speed. 14 to 1800, start number two. Gee, it's not easy, is it? He did beat a horse called Stray in that. Stray went to the key lead-up race, the Dulcify, and ran really well, only beaten three lengths. So you can tie the form in. But look, there's so many different angles to this race. There's a horse like French Emperor, who's very, very green, very raw, and the blinkers go on. I just wonder if he's the one that could go through the roof and find a couple of lengths in a race where there's probably only three or four lengths over all of them, talent-wise, at the moment, or what we've seen. But I wonder if he's the one, with that gear change, if he can find a good spot, clear running, and find a couple of lengths. So I lent his way at the value.
It's an interesting race, that, especially Profondo there, Robbie Dolan and Robbie Lent. Costs as much as they purchased you back in the day, Gator, that particular youngster. What about the D-Day horse?
Yeah, look, it's pretty rare we find one coming off a win, but we're going to go with Thought of That. So race nine at Sandown Hillside. Now, he was a good, strong winner at Sale. Good to see him roll along at a solid speed and run quick overall time. So I think that's the key to him. His two best wins have been when he's been able to do that. So I just wonder if he might be back in a really tough race. So he's race nine, number eight, so the last race. So he won't be solo in the quaddy, but we'll know the pattern by then. I think they'll want to lead on him. I think that's the key. And, you know, he can give us a great sight, I think.
I remember the day that, as you just pointed out there at Caulfield, where he defeated Warning in that good Caulfield three-year-old race during their carnival, and he looked like he would be anything, really. I think he was the favourite for the Derby after that performance, Gator. He went like Might and Power. He was about six or seven in front as they swung for home.
The mini Might and Power, wasn't it? A sustained speed sort of effort, which we love to see, and then sort of lost his way, had a few issues, struck some wet tracks, and then a couple of really good runs sprinkled in there. And then failed on a synthetic track, but didn't have much go right. But then last time, ran along strong as anything through the line. Fast overall time. I'm trusting that race and putting him on top. But as I say, he won't be solo.
What about your highlight of the weekend?
Oh, look at that. I love the Moira. I love some of those races at Caulfield. I'm excited to see Zaki. But the Golden Rose has emerged and developed into an outstanding race. Won by some very good horses. And we sort of touched on it a bit earlier with Animo, who deserves to be the favourite, back to set weights, I think, second up, out to 1,400. In the Congo, did give him a race, though, and his run was terrific. He led at a really strong speed. He had a pest outside him, stay inside, and he shook him off and was only collared late. With a softer run here, he's going to be very, very hard to catch. And Remark, who didn't have a lot go right early in that Animo race, he ran well. And Artorias, obviously beaten last time, but he still ran very well. And he did run well behind Animo in the slipper at 1,200 metres. He just was run off his feet that day. So I think they're the main ones in a fabulous race, the Golden Rose.
So he's not over the line, Animo Gator. You think that they can take him on and go into that contest with a little bit of confidence, a few of his rivals?
Put it this way, if I owned in the Congo, I'd be pretty confident. If I didn't have, if I could run along at a solid speed without having one driving me mad, I think that gives me more juice in the tank to give a kick. If I was Remark stable, I'm thinking, okay, I gave up two lengths last time because I was wide early. I had to restrain for cover. I gave up a two-length margin. I was beaten 1.6. And you could look at Artorias, who just, may have brought himself undone a bit last time, but he produced a big sectional forward of the two, maybe just peaked late here into this third up, ready to fire. So all of those, they're really strong winning cases, I think.
So you got Adamo at $1.90, Notorious $8.50, Remarks at $8, and in the Congo is a great each way price for the Inform Waterhouse and Bot Team, as you just pointed out, Gator, currently at $10. We haven't been at Rose Hill for quite some time, Gator. How do you think this track will play fresh?
Yeah, well, it's pretty rare air, isn't it, given the circumstances we're in. Rails True was 8 metres, 1,400 to the winning post last time. There was no real pattern that day. Maybe just edged off the inside late, but there's all that protected ground inside. The last True Rail was back in late June, and the track played really well that day with no bias evidence. So, to answer your question, I'm expecting a level playing field, but it's really a big disadvantage to be up there.
We'll take a quick break and then we'll come back with your questions. You're with Gareth Hall, David Gately. This is Gator's Game Plan on this Thursday. Welcome back to RSN Central. Some news just coming through from the Victorian government that Victorians that are double vaccinated, that have been stuck in New South Wales, they're allowed to come back home now, which is terrific news for those Victorians. So that's the news just breaking there from Dan Andrews. But it's now time for your questions with Gator's Game Plan. 0416 90 50 52. Can't wait for Gator's famous parlay 2 and 3 a little later on as well. Adamo, is he a moral Gator? I think we've already discussed that. He is not a moral, but he'd be hard to beat. Hi, Gareth. Can you ask Gator what his thoughts are on Twist of Fury in race one at Sandown for David Brightoak there, Gator? That's from Dylan from Tatura. G'day, Dylan.
It's an interesting race, isn't it? Obviously, you've got Esther LaRocca, who's a dual acceptor. She's going to be hard to beat if they do decide to run at Hillside. Hopefully, they'll let us know in the near future. Probably the key to the race. Twist of Fury surprisingly got away with an easy lead last time. A couple of key rivals like Diamonds in the Sky took a sit and wanted to run on, and it sort of played into this horse's hands, but did win quite well. And, you know, has a case. I think the has clearly a better chance if Esther isn't there.
Gareth, you have to be kidding about Carlton. They should be 200 to 1. It was a little bit of tongue-in-cheek there, but I'm just trying to give the Blues supporters a little bit of hope. Can you please ask Gator his thoughts on Vangelic in race 7 in Sydney? Can she win on Saturday, and is she a horse, Gator, that we should be following during the spring?
Look, I quite like her as a horse. The problem she's got is she just doesn't get any weight advantage from the run last time. She was an honest sort of sound effort. Others were better, and they're in the race. So how does she turn the tables on them? That's a little query I've got. She will be fitter. She will be up on the speed. Maybe it's a leader pattern, and that could help her. But I'm not sure how she holds off Entrevere in that race.
Always great to hear from Johnny Drama. He joins us nearly every week with the question. Good on you, Johnny. He says, drawing the inside barrier, does Gator think September Run can handle the tight Mooney Valley inside rail? To me, she looks awkward on a turn, and she doesn't have that turn of foot until she gets into that straight line. I was listening, Johnny, to Craig Williams, and he had a choice of a few rides in the Moyer Stakes on Friday night, and he basically said with his explanation with September Run, he isn't of the belief, Gator, that she handles Mooney Valley. That's why he's aboard Trekking, who's been there, done that at that track. So he says he could be wrong. We'll find out after Friday, but that was the reasoning behind him jumping off her to ride Trekking.
Well, her two runs there have been terrific. Yep. She zoomed home against the pattern behind Masked Crusader. And the William Reid out wide, and they weren't swooping that night. Then you could run on at the Valley last time, but they just had struck a slowly run race, surprisingly, 1,000 metres around the Valley, and she didn't quicken, then zoomed late. So fast run 1,000, second up, I get the feeling she'll just be run off her legs a little bit, but she'll be zooming late again. I got a feeling it might be a little bit too late, but with luck, she can win.
Gator, how do you rate Defibrillator, who was a good thing beaten there at Flemington the other day in race 6 at Mooney Valley Friday night? It was great first up at Flemington. That's from Chris from Traralgon.
Yeah, look, I take the point. I mean, I thought he was out in time. You know, I wanted him to win to bring us our quaddie home. I didn't have Floating Artist. That was awesome. But
yes,
Floating Artist controlled the race and was pretty strong on the line. I think was holding him, in fairness. But he gave that horse 6 kilos. It was a very good run, and he was held up at a key stage. We do know it's more difficult to accelerate with weight, a basic feature of a thing called physics. So I think he's about ready to win. It's not a gimme, that race, though, is it? He'll certainly be in my top two or three.
Gator, quick fun fact. How many of Cliff Brown's horses have you seen win second up since returning? I'll answer that. 1. Numero Uno, 1. The Inferno looked big as a house in the yard and still blew them away. So now he gets a race where himself, Wide Rule, and Brooklyn Hustle can get the gun sits behind a tearaway former nut job and profiteer. And Miss Albania from Barrier 11. The Inferno draws 5, Wild Ruler Barrier 4. They must be giggling at the thought of you thinking the Inferno is better than a $5 chance. Please, that's from Cyril from Singapore, Gator.
Yeah, look, he was terrific first up, there's no doubt. And there's some merit on the clock as well. You know, who's to say he's not even better on dry ground? It was his first exposure to wet ground. Rail comes out 4 metres. He'll get a truly run race. So it's going to come down to, in my very humble, and it's just an opinion, if he can be in touch coming to the turn, if they run a fast 1,000 metres. He got away with a soft run 1,000. He still took some winding up, if you watch the replay. Once he wound up, though, he was excellent. But that's my query. And, you know, I've been wrong before. It's fine.
So we always enjoy a little bit of feedback from Singapore as well, Gator, as we move on. And when someone, Gator says, run off his feet, what does he mean? When Gator says run off his feet, what does he mean by that? There you go, Gator.
No, look, it's a fair question. So what happens is, so go and look at Artorias, watch the full replay from his first up run. Go and look at September run, perhaps her first up run around the valley. When the race goes on, so watch it from the start, but then from mid-race onwards, you'll see they're under pressure and they're just struggling to keep up. So the rider's usually into them a little bit to keep them in touch with the field. So they're just going too fast for them. You know, the analogy is if we're having a foot race, all of us, and I'm jogging along, you know, at a low heart rate and then I sprint home, that's my best chance. If they're going too fast for me and my heart rate's high and I'm struggling to keep up, it's going to impact my finish. So that's what I mean. They're just going a little bit quick for you. But, you know, as they step up in distance, the comfort level comes down a bit for them. They can be in touch, be within that striking distance at a lower heart rate and finish off. So that's the shortened version, I think.
Gator, a couple of questions for you. It's a two-parter. First of all, do you give Swatstad a chance tomorrow night in the Moya?
Yeah, I do. I think she's a hope. You know, she's found September run a little bit too good for her over the journey so far. But around the valley, she'll have a head start on her. She can run a good time rating, as she did in the Lightning first up last time in. She actually loomed to win that a bit. And the September run beat her late. Nature Strip beat them both. So they're pretty good lines to draw.
And enjoyed part one of your story yesterday. Did you ever play cricket at any level? This is from Martin, of course, part of your Oz Racing Group 1 family there, Gator. Good on you,
yeah,
Martin.
No, we like the Group 1 fam. Yeah, look, I played up till I was about 25 or so, and it was a lot of fun. I wasn't much good at it, but the competitive angle I really liked, and it was good fun. But when it got to the point where every single Saturday is taken up, footy and cricket, it was that or stay married.
Yes, and that's a good point you make, but one of the most entertaining parts of your story there yesterday, Gator, was explaining as a football coach, which you were very good at and loved, of course, that you had to tell your players that there was no talk of any race results during the Saturday afternoon, and if someone did spill the beans regarding the results, they would get punished on Tuesday night's training. But, geez, cricket would have been difficult. Did you have an earpiece, the radio in your pocket there, listening to the quaddy legs in the field?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that was the only way to go to make that sport more entertaining.
Gator, congrats on landing the parlay last week. If you had one futures bet you could recommend, who would it be?
So I've taken a few, so I'll tell you the ones I've taken. So Incentivise pretty much has to win the Caulfield Cup for all of my multis, my long ranges. Into Zaki, Cox Plate, unfortunately into Ayrton, Golden Rose, that one hurts. I think Sword of State we might have used in the Coolmore. So there's a couple there. You know, I sent out a big spring preview about a month or so ago, and it was they're the ones I've followed my own thoughts. So, yeah, good fun.
Bloody spiders, Gator. Good morning, Gareth. Was listening to the interview with Mr. Gately yesterday and loved it. Plenty of relatable topics. Think he would have been a real statistical type of coach. Data, data, data. That's from Rhino from Danilik. Your thoughts there, Gator? Do you agree with Rhino?
No, I can see what he's thinking, but quite the opposite, actually. I think that the current level of inverted commas, hashtag data, in AFL circles is a little misleading. I think it's similar to racing in that I think a lot of people use it just to sort of show people they know what they're talking about when perhaps they don't. I think the psychology of football and the synergy of collective mindsets is the real strength, in my very humble, is the art of coaching.
And don't forget, if you missed part one of David Gately's Your Story, you just need to subscribe to RSN Central. Give us 5 stars if that's okay, and you can listen to part one because he is a very interesting man, D. Gately. And part two, of course, next week at 11:30 on RSN Central on a Wednesday. G-Dog, what do you think of draft day? This is Gator Dog at Moonee Valley there tomorrow. Tommy from Tamworth. Good on you, Tom. Hopefully you're enjoying Tamworth.
Yeah, 5's a lot of stars. The draft day was an exceptional first up debut win, wasn't it? I mean, he sort of missed the kick a bit. He went forward and sat 3 wide on the speed. I know the fence was off, but they went hard. They went about 10 lengths above average, and he still kicked on and won. And that fast early speed set up the fast overall time. A lot to like about that debut win. A runner-up River Plate just ran well in a Guineas lead-up, albeit they're all slow horses.
Hi, Gareth. Please ask Gator about Sound of Cannons in race 4 at Rose Hill. 3 runs back, he should have easily defeated No Compromise, who was favourite in this race on Saturday. They shouldn't be that far away in the market. That's from Dave. Good on you, Dave.
Look, I think it's a fair point. They probably should be closer together. But look, I'm strongly with No Compromise. He actually meets Sound of Cannons 4.5 kilos better for beating him. Look, I know relative weights aren't everything, but I think it's important. He was 5 weeks between runs into that Premier's Cup, No Compromise. So he's the one I'm with, but I see the point and I agree that probably should be a bit closer together.
Gator, thoughts on Be Tempted in the last big win, last start? Should there be that big of a gap in between her and, say, Aussie Nugget, who is in who has gate one and potential traffic issues?
Yeah, I was all ready to tip Aussie Nugget off the noms, and they come up with gate one. It's the worst draw imaginable for an off-speed horse, Hillside, I think. Needs a ton of luck now in a field of 500. But he is ready to win. To answer the question, Be Tempted, she's underrated. Big win last time. She has run, if you go back through her form, she ran very, very well behind Aussie Nugget one day without much luck. She wasn't beaten far from him and arguably, you know, should have finished alongside him. So winning hope, certainly in my quaddy.
All right, then, Gator, your parlay 2 and 3 for the weekend, please.
All righty, we're going to go parlay 3. So that means they all have to win. So we're getting a bit cocky after last week. Okay. And they are Lena's Legend, race 3. He is race 3, number 3. Race 4, number 2, Zuzarella. We've touched on her. And our best in city is race 7, number 2, Entrevere. So I've actually put in this multi into my tab. So $100, I think I return around $1,900 off that if they salute off those early prices.
So Entrevere, Jamie Richards, the New Zealand star mare, was brilliant there the other day, first up at Kembla. Lena's Legend, race 3, number 3, Sandown. And Sandown, race 4, number 2, Zuzarella, in the 3-year-old fillies race. So race 7, number 2 in Sydney, Entrevere. So looking forward to that. Your selection once again in the Moyer Stakes, Gator?
Look, I'll tip Profiteer on top.
Yep.
Hopefully he can just harness that energy. If he does, he'll run a really slick 1,000 metres, I think.
And in the Congo to defeat Animo?
No, I've tipped Animo on top.
Yep.
But so I think in the Congo at $10 is a terrific danger and a good Quinella play.
And how do you think that the Underwood plays out? How far does Zaki win? Or do you think maybe Superstorm can step up or even a Probabil?
Well, Probabil doesn't need to step up a lot. I mean, she's a proper Group 1 horse. Superstorm looks to me like a really good Group 2 horse at the moment. So I think you think he's got them covered and the market tells you that. The problem is, you know, if they crawl and then just sprint home, you know, that gives the lesser athletes a chance.
Gator, love your work. We'll catch up with you on Saturday morning for the Melbourne Form Panel from 8 a.m. and then, of course, the Sydney preview with Tommy Bear. I think he's back, along with Lizzie Jels as well, as we preview the Golden Rose meeting at Rose Hill just after 9 o'clock. Enjoy the next couple of days.
Super excited.